KFSR presents Fresno State Service in Action, stories of community service from the campus of Fresno State, with host Chris Fiorentino on Fresno State Radio, 90.7 KFSR.
Good morning and welcome. I'm Chris Fiorentino, and it's my pleasure to welcome you to the show today. Each week, I get the privilege of bringing you stories about the people and the programs of Fresno State that make up this incredible commitment of over 1 million hours of service provided by the Fresno State community each and every year. And today, we're going to be talking about one of the longest-running service initiatives at the university, and one that is celebrating a really special anniversary, the Humanics at Fresno State program. I'm really excited to be joined by a good friend and longtime colleague, Dr. Matthew Jindian. Matt is a professor and chair of the sociology department and the director of the humanics program at Fresno State. Welcome to the show, Matt.
Thank you.
Also with Matt today is another longtime friend and colleague, Dr. Don Simmons. Don is also a faculty member and a really key leader in the humanics at Fresno State program. Don, glad you're with us again.
Thanks, Chris. Good to be here.
So finally, we have two humanic students with us today, Aubriana Garten and Andrea Galdamez. Aubriana, Andrea, thanks for being here today.
Thank you.
It's so good to be here.
So Matt, since you founded the humanics program, maybe we ought to start with you. Maybe you'll give us a little self-introduction first so the listeners know who we're talking to with.
Sure. I was born and raised in Fresno, went to Fresno State as an undergraduate myself, did my doctoral and master's degree at USC in Southern California, and was fortunate enough to be able to come back to Fresno State while I was working on my dissertation and start teaching in 1995.
Awesome. And I think we met around 96, 97 when you offered your very first service learning class.
So it was one of my mentors, the late Elizabeth Nelson, who was a professor and chair of sociology at the time, and she encouraged me to apply for a service learning grant that would help me incorporate service learning into Sociology 1. Yeah. And it was back in 97 that I did that. And that left an impression with me that service learning would be a part of classes that I teach at Fresno State.
So you're the founder of Humanics, the first director. And I'm curious, maybe you can kind of give us a little background on how you went from being a lecturer and teaching service learning classes to helping to found the Humanics program here.
So again, my mentor, Elizabeth Nelson, she said that we're getting this program at Fresno State. This was 1998, called Humanics. And I think you should apply for it. That's a half-time director position. You're a lecturer right now. You do service learning. You've got connections with community organizations. So I think you should apply. And I'm looking at her like, Humanics? What's that? So I learned that Humanics referred to the preparing of individuals in spirit, mind, and body for leadership in service to humanity. And it was a program of study that was originally founded at the turn of the century at a Massachusetts college in Springfield, Massachusetts. And we were bringing that to Fresno State. And when I heard about that and I saw the connections with the community organizations that I'd been working with as service learning partners, I said, I'm going to apply. So I took her advice. I applied and I ended up being selected for the position. And I got a box of materials with the name Humanics on it. And I had to figure out what that meant and what it was going to look like at Fresno State, because we didn't have a curriculum. We didn't have students. All we had was this box and myself as the new director.
And it really has become one of, if not the premier programs of its type in the nation. And your leadership and Don's assistance and great students and incredible support from the administration has really led to make that a reality.
So Humanics is a national organization, and we were part of that National Alliance of Colleges and Universities back in 1998 when we first joined. And I grew our program in part because of my relationships with directors of other Humanics programs at campuses throughout the country. President John Welty at the time, former president of Fresno State, served on the board of directors for Humanics, the national organization, and was very supportive, not only at the national level, but at the local campus level. And we rose during our time with them to be the premier organization in the country. And part of that is because of our programming, very much applied and hands-on. And secondly, is the diversity and the talent of the scholars with which we were working with at Fresno State. So that's how we grew it over time.
Yeah. And Don, you came into the picture in what year?
I joined the faculty in 2007.
Yeah.
And in 1984, when I was serving at Occidental College, I went to Kansas City for a conference with Humanix and helped to craft two of the competencies for Humanix that are used nationally. And those two competencies are still part of our competencies here at Fresno State. So I got to see it on the other side before I got here.
And you've got quite a background. We met in 1994 at what was my first community engagement service learning conference. And you've got an extensive background, both in education and working with community benefit organizations and working with foundations. I wonder if maybe just give us a little background on that.
I'm a native of South Carolina and I grew up in a family that was very engaged in the community. And so I got my feet wet very early, learning to do fundraisers for organizations that my family cared about. And in many ways, like a lot of people, forced to do those fundraisers because my mother said, this is something you're going to do. And I learned from my mom how to do some of those things. And then in college, got to start a student organization for service in Charleston in the early 1970s. And that organization still continues today. Then on to grad school, where I had the privilege of starting a child abuse agency in Fort Worth, Texas, which is now the Texas Child Abuse Council, one of the largest child abuse prevention organizations in the country. And that pretty much scared me as being a very young person and dealing with a board that was much older than me. And when I moved to California, continued that involvement. But I really think I learned the most by being a board member with an organization called the Volunteer Centers. Served on four boards of volunteer centers in California, from Orange County to La Mirada to Marin to here in Fresno.
Yeah.
Those are now all called hands-on. And as a part of the volunteer organization, they put you through an in-depth training on how to be a good board member and really learn more about volunteer management from that service. Then my PhD is in organizational development with an emphasis in 501c3 organizations, and then did a certificate in philanthropy at Yale, where I got to work with my mentor, Bob Withnow, who had written a book called Some Do Care. And I hear his voice in my head frequently. Recently in class, I heard Bob Withnow yelling at me that help people understand metaphors, because there are more metaphors than there is lecture in the world. And so you need to pay attention to those things. So I feel like I go way back with Humanix long before I got to Fresno State.
Well, it's been a real benefit, I know, certainly to Matt and to our students and our campus that you're here now. So Don and Matt, what are your specific roles in the program and what are some of the projects that Humanix at Fresno State is involved in?
We have five core courses in the Humanix program and I have the privilege of teaching four of those core courses and then a couple of other courses that lead to a volunteer management certificate. But I first do the Students for Giving project, which is a student grant making process where the students decide which organizations they would like to invite to apply for grants. And then go through the process of applications and letters of intent and site visits and interviews and class presentations. All of that culminates in the students doing an event where they actually give grants. In the past few years, we've been able to give $15,000 in grants. And Dr. Jennian can tell you more about our totals there and how many people have participated, how many organizations we've served. But that's in the areas of everything from board and staff development to this year accessibility, public policy, advocacy, making a real contribution in our communities that the students decide on and the students lead and the students find the organizations. And then they get to actually go back and do an audit or an evaluation of how the money was spent and offer recommendations to those organizations on spending grant money and what they can do with it. So they learned firsthand what it's like to be a grant maker. My belief is that the very best grant writers and fundraisers are the people who know what the grant making process is like. And so by putting them on both sides in two of our classes as grant writers and as grant makers, they can see the whole spectrum of what it's like and then have a better understanding of the whole world of philanthropy.
Yeah. And Matt, I would imagine that this is a great opportunity for students to understand philanthropy in terms of the importance of giving back to the community and to these community organizations. But also, how do you go about picking organizations that are worthy? Because sadly, there are a lot of really worthy organizations that do an incredible job with the funding that they receive in terms of using those funds for the delivery of services. But there are a few that don't. We hear about some of them in the news, but you probably know about a lot more. So great opportunity for students to understand How do you go about assessing where the greatest need is and where their greatest dollars can go, whether it be in students for giving or their personal giving?
Mm-hmm. So a couple things. One is we talk about the Humanics program being a REAL program. That acronym REAL stands for relational, experiential, applicable, and learner-centered.
Mm-hmm.
And then we also talk about how the community is our classroom. And that's not just a slogan for Dr. Simmons and myself or our Humanics program. We're in the community. We're involved in the community, both personally and professionally. And so we're connected with organizations on the ground. We know that there are organizations that will be listed in GuideStar, right? That will be listed in Hands-On's directory, that will be listed in Metro Ministries directory. And that's how students will learn about and find which organizations are doing what work. But then it's up to the students to then go out and research additional places of organizations that are working in our community and making a difference, looking at their materials, looking at their website, calling them up, stopping by and seeing if anybody is actually there and what is actually going on. And so they'll do that and they'll create a list that they'll work down and then they'll invite those to send a letter of inquiry. That letter of inquiry then gets reviewed by the team that then determines whether or not they're going to advance them to the next level of submitting an application. And so it's a multi-step process, including for the finalists, an in-person, on-campus interview with the team of students before they decide who's going to be the recipient.
So this program has been going on for about 12 years. How many organizations and how much money has the Students for Giving Project contributed?
So our Students for Giving program at Fresno State is one of the longest lasting student philanthropic giving programs in the country. We've given out $147,000 to 33 different organizations. It's been a few more than that, but a couple organizations have received two grants. So $147,000, right, to 33 organizations.
Very, very impressive numbers. Andrea, you've had some experience with that program, right?
I do have experience with the program, and in speaking with Dr. Jendian said earlier on who to figure out who to give this money to, I'm a sociology major, and this is kind of a crude way of putting it, but you learn a lot about what's wrong with the world, with society. You learn about underserved and unserved groups, and so already with the education from my BA, it perfectly complements this credential program I'm in.
So what agency did you end up providing funds to, and what was their project?
My area of funding needed to go to advocacy, and we chose Mi Familia Vota. One of my teammates, James Baranda, who is getting his master's in social work here at Fresno State, planted a seed in my head in one of our first few meetings when we came up with a list of organizations that we could possibly send out an RFP to, a request for sending a proposal. He said to us, you know, it's 2016. We're right around the corner from elections. If we chose groups that aim to register voters that are unlikely to vote, we may turn the needle on something here. And he was absolutely right about it. The grant was successful. They did reach their goal of the amount of volunteers that they wanted to reach and the amount of registered voters they wanted to get. And the good news is that here in California, it was announced that we had the highest voter turnout of Latinos, I think, ever. Is that right? Yeah, the Latino Community Foundation came out with a statistic that we had a huge turnout on Latino voters. And it's very amazing for me to say as a student, I had a very small hand in that.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, you see that change in the community. Aubriana, how about you? What project were you involved in, Students for Giving?
So I was on the board and staff development team, and that was probably the hardest class of my college career because I still think about it, right? Because we have so many deserving community benefit organizations in the Fresno area who need money, right? They need money to continue these programs that are helping these populations that are lacking in all these needs, right? But they're also providing a lot. And so my team gave to Lowell CDC, but we had many finalists that were just as deserving of this money that we were giving out. And that's why the Whitney Foundation Humanics gift is so important that we get to be a part of in helping raise that money so that this work will continue on way past the time that Andrea and I graduate, that this is something that is meant to go on long past all of us are gone.
I want to talk about the Whitney Foundation and some of that in a little bit and a little fundraiser that you did as part of your birthday just recently, but I want to come back to that. So, Don, you mentioned this grant writing project that Humanics is involved in. Maybe you can talk about it because that's separate from Students for Giving. So the students also, as you said, write grants for some of these organizations. Can you talk about that class and that project?
Sure, Chris. In the grant writing and evaluation course, the students work with local community benefit organizations to present them with a template for a grant proposal, or they'll even submit the grant proposal for them. And in the past 12 years that I've been teaching that course here, the students have written for well over 100 different community benefit organizations. And by rough estimation, they've brought in close to $1.5 million in grants for those organizations.
Two and a half million.
So two and a half million plus the 140-some-odd thousand dollars that Students for Giving is giving out.
And we're hearing now that organizations are using the templates that the students provided them up to 5 years ago. And so they're still resubmitting. They have the format. Some of them learn to do grant writing from our students in this process. And then the evaluation process, when we go back and evaluate the organizations that we presented the Students for Giving grants to, because evaluation is such a big part of the whole philanthropy process. We measure what matters and what matters we measure. And so we're measuring how the grant was used. But in grant writing, students are learning it's not easy to do because grant writing is not as logical as most people think it is. And it's something that a lot of organizations do sometimes too much. And they start to be very dependent on grants and not dependent enough on individual contributions. So when the grant goes away, a lot of programs go away. And students start to learn that an organization might be worthy and deserving, but there might be problems with governance, or there might be challenges with programming, or there might be some problems in their finances that they haven't looked at. And in the grant writing process, they look at all of those areas, and the organizations we work with sometimes say, we thought we were just going to get grant writing, but we really got a program evaluation. And that's good too. So for organizations that we've been able to write successful grants for, like the King's Tulare Homeless Alliance, the Art of Life Cancer Foundation, Tree Fresno, Boys and Girls Clubs, those organizations have been changed by the funding that's come into them through what the students have written for them.
So, Andrea, this grant writing experience, this course, led to a job for you. Is that right?
Yes. I'm currently interning at Key Writing Concepts. It's founded by Nancy Key, who is my mentor. So the really cool thing about the Humanics program is they bring leaders from our community who are doing the work to the classroom to complement their lectures as well. And Nancy Key came in to talk to us about grant writing. And shortly after joining the program, I realized that I had found my career path. And so I just came up to her and said, I really like what you do. I want to be you when I grow up. And she said, sure, take my business card. Let me get your number. Let's get in touch. And we kept a relationship with each other over about a year, having coffee and just talking and just letting her know about what I'm up to at school. And eventually she offered me an internship at her company. And it's really amazing. I'm growing a lot through it. It's uncomfortable at times because I'm learning from being out there and doing the work. I'm learning where my shortcomings are. And I'm learning that there are some skills that I need to sharpen and that my skills are not fixed, that they can get better. And so I have this confidence going out there that I'm not perfect. I don't know a lot of things, but I can certainly learn and gain those skills.
That's what a good education is all about, making you a little uncomfortable, pushing you in areas that you're not used to. So it's just another testament to these kinds of experiences and the impact that they have on students. So boy, we've got so much more that I want to cover in this interview, but at least for the next couple of things, we'll just probably touch on them real quickly. But Matt, Dawn mentioned about how during the grant writing and during Students for Giving, you're seeing issues in some of these organizations that your students can really have an impact on. And so you've got this capacity building project. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. Shortly after we started the grant making Students for Giving project, we saw that some organizations lacked the capacity in order to implement the grants that they had received. And so it became about thinking about how can we help organizations develop the capacity that they need to really deliver on the grants that they receive and then be eligible to bring more money and opportunities to themselves and to the communities they serve in the Central Valley. So in 2009, we applied for and received a federal grant and a grant that came through AmeriCorps that was specifically to help us create a capacity building project in which we would select a certain number of groups to work with us over a 3-semester process that would include assessment, work plan and decision matrices, right, and then evaluation. And in that process, we would engage both staff and board members to help identify what their strengths and weaknesses were and help identify what the challenges that they were immediately facing and develop the capacities to address them.
So like any organization, these community benefit organizations, they may have an issue with some of their financial management practices or their board development or whatever else it might be. Aubriana, you were involved in one of these projects. Can you just talk briefly about that?
Yeah, so I was part of an evaluation team for Focus Forward after they had received the Students for Giving grant. And through that experience, I met Corinne Campos, who's the executive director of Focus Forward. And seeing that they're low staffed, I am now currently in an internship there, literally building their capacity and doing fundraising so that this program goes full circle.
Yeah.
That we just continue to help these organizations and build the community.
And just very quickly, this internship that both of you have mentioned now is a significant part of the Humanic experience. So in addition to these classes where you're out doing this service learning, where you're out doing hours with and in the community, you're also having to do a 300-hour internship, correct?
Yes, that's correct. And also, we're talking about paid internships, right? So that we understand that we need to build ourselves as well so that we can really make ourselves sustainable. So they're paid internships, and that's essential.
Yeah.
For
this little
students,
thing about the cost of affording college and paid internships are wonderful things.
And let me add, too, that Corinne Campos at Focus Forward, who's the executive director there, is one of the alums of the Humanics program. And in 20 years of service at Humanics, it's not uncommon that our students would be serving in internships at organizations that are led by Humanics alum, as well as having a whole mentor operation going with all of our students, where most of our mentors are Humanics alumni, as well as having multiple alumni who are serving on the boards of foundations, so that even in the giving decisions, the organizations that the students submit grants to, those decisions are being made by Humanics alums as well.
We could do like five of these shows just on Humanics. I think that, Don, you really talked about something right there that is so important to understand. This program is helping, has helped to reshape the face of the nonprofit. I know that's not a word that you guys like to use. The nonprofit community, the community benefit organizations across our area and even outside our area. And these alums are going in with this training and experience and background, and they're able to not only as students help these organizations with their capacity and being more effective in the delivery of services, thus impacting in positive ways our community, but after their students, when they graduate, they're going in and they're able to hit the ground running as professionals to make a difference.
All across California, yeah. You can find our alums who are leading statewide organizations, local organizations. They're in foundation work. They're on boards everywhere, because once students observe boards and see what boards could be and could do, they want to be a part of boards. But they're also in Washington, D.C., where there's a cluster of our alums who are serving in national and international organizations, as well as in Sacramento leading some statewide organizations.
Yeah. This is why the Humanics program has the tagline of the three E's. We know about the three D's for Fresno State: discovery, distinction, and diversity. We have the three E's for Humanics, and that is exceptional leaders, enhanced organizations, enriched communities.
These are great acronyms. Boy, I love them all. Okay, so look, before we run out of time, I want to talk about this 20th anniversary.
Yeah, yeah,
it's a big accomplishment to be able to establish a program, to keep it running, and to have it just be something much more than you probably envisioned when you started, Matt, 20 years ago. So the 20th anniversary of Humanics is this year. Is that correct?
That's right. We're celebrating. We had our first, I was brought on in 1998 as a halftime director. We had our first class in fall of 1999. We had our first graduates in 2001. And the program has transformed tremendously during that time. And I think the biggest shift was when Dr. Simmons joined our program in fall of 2007, because it took our program to a whole nother level. We then had the human resources to implement a program of significant depth and breadth. We have made our projects much more applicable, which means greater experience for our students and a greater impact for the organizations they're working with. And like I said, I'm very proud of the direction we've gone, given our students professional development opportunities that they would not have otherwise.
Yeah. So if there's somebody out there that's listening, a Fresno State student, a prospective student, a parent, a community benefit organization that has not connected with you and wants to, how can they get a hold of you?
So the best way to do that, I think, is through our website, our alumni-run website off campus. It's humanicsfresno.org.
Humanicsfresno.org. By the way, we've already talked about a lot of these programs. We're going to post a lot of this information to our Facebook page at FS Service in Action. That's the at symbol, FS Service in Action on Facebook. So go ahead.
And our own Facebook page. Yeah. So those two places are where they can find us online.
And we'll link those, and it's a great place to go and get that information and to make contact with the organization, to make contact with Don and or Matt, and go from there.
The other organization that's really enhanced our ability to do more has been the Whitney Foundation.
Yeah.
And they started with a $20,000 gift specifically to the Students for Giving grant project. And we implemented that money in a way that showed them that we were good stewards. And so in May of 2018, the organization announced a $500,000 grant that would be awarded through the Central Valley Community Foundation that would forever fund the Students for Giving project.
An endowment.
An endowment.
Yeah, so the interest generated off of that donation will help to provide the funding for future Students for Giving grants that will go out to these organizations.
Right. And then at the same time, they challenged us with another match grant endowment opportunity, saying that we'll give you $300,000, right, if you can raise $300,000 by June 30, 2019.
Here you go, folks. You're going to get hit up for money now, but it's for good purposes. So people can donate to this match, and for every dollar basically they donate, it's going to be tripled?
It's going to be tripled because we have already got a match from President Castro of $125,000. And we've got the match from the Whitney Foundation. So now we're working diligently with our most loyal supporters and our alumni to give back and to contribute to that remaining portion.
That's that birthday project that we talked about, Aubrey. And maybe you could just give us the very, very quick summary of what you did for your birthday.
Yeah, so Humanics is actually what brought me to Fresno. I was living in San Luis Obispo before that. I found out about Humanics at Fresno State and decided that's where I have to be. I moved to Fresno, I met my husband, right? So like, I can't imagine, like, I owe this program everything. It's totally changed my life. So for my 27th birthday, which was just Friday, I did, for my 27th birthday, donate $27 to Humanics. And my husband had to donate double. So we're just trying to do all we can to get this money to meet this match, because it's going to be feeding our community for a long time, because we're doubling it. There's no better opportunity, there's no better gift that I would want for my birthday than for that.
So those of you who are listening to the show know Aubriana, you better go and donate to her birthday fundraiser that supports Humanics, supports students like this, supports the community organizations that are served by our students and help educate our students.
So to meet this match, we have to give specifically to the Whitney Humanics match.
Okay.
And so people can do that at www.fresnostate.com/givenow. And when you do that, you then would select other, you would type in Humanics Program, Whitney Humanics Match, and that way the money is designated for the matched funding that will then go on to sustain the Humanics Program at Fresno State forever.
And again, if you're listening and you want to donate and you just didn't get all that, just know we will post a link to that site where you can go in and designate this for the Whitney Match. Boy, seriously, and I've said it before, but we could spend so much more time on this project and all the great things that's happening through this program over the last 20 years and will now continue to happen in our community and beyond because of this program. I've watched the program grow over the years, and I've worked closely with many of the students and with Matt and with Don. I've learned so much. We are so fortunate to have this program here in our community. We're fortunate that Don and Matt are the leaders of this program. We're so fortunate for students like Aubriana and Andrea. I just want to thank you all, certainly for being here as guests today, but for all the hard work you do in the community.
It's our pleasure.
So, boy, we got to sign off. We're probably over time. I just want to thank all of our listeners for joining us today. As I mentioned, please go to that at FS Service in Action Facebook page for this show. You'll see all kinds of links there. Certainly, please, if you're so inclined, donate to the program. It really is a worthy place that will not only take the money and make good use of it, but it will be tripled or more based on the funds already received by the Whitney Foundation and by President Castro's donation. So join us again next Sunday at 11 a.m. for another great Fresno State Service in Action program on KFSR. Like us at that Facebook site. We are on the air at 90.7 FM and streaming worldwide at kfsr.org. Thanks and have a great day.
CFSR presents Fresno State Service in Action every Sunday morning at 11. For a complete program schedule, visit kfsr.org.